I think that most of us realize that there are people that fight battles all over the world. And I'm not just talking about the kind of battles that people fight from one country to another, but the battles that people fight in their homes and their lives. There are people who battle sickness, people who battle family issues, loss of health, different stresses of every kind. Some, all you have to do is to look at our church bulletins. And you see those filled with people fighting cancer or heart issues or issues that people, battles that people fight that we don't know about. Struggles that go on inside the family, our families. Struggles of people who are fighting the fight to be faithful to God. And many of these problems are very hurtful problems, very hurtful battles. For some, it may be severe and it may seem to go on for a long time. And so all of us tonight are going to have our share of battles. It just depends on when we have them and how long they last and what type of battle we fight. And I believe that God, as we know and understand tonight, gives us the ability to overcome the battles and the issues of life. But it depends upon us of whether or not we are going to allow God to help us fight those battles. And what happens in life that sometimes we fail to give things over to God. Issues going on in the home, do we give it to God? When we are dealing with issues with our health, do we give it to God? There are some of those things that it seems to be easier to give to God for some reason than others. But the battle that we face and that we war against today is a battle that we must do so with God. And I believe that the first thing when we face the battles of life, the first thing that we must understand, and that is who God is. Sometimes we struggle to know who we are and to find our identity as Christians, but I believe that before we're able to do that, we have to understand who God is. God is the one that not only created the world, but can and control the world. He can maintain the existence of the world today. And He can also destroy the world when that time comes. And so if God has the power and the might to do that, then would He not have the power and the might to help me through my battles of life? In Isaiah 26 and verse 4, the Bible says, "In the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Daniel said in Daniel 2 and verse 20 that wisdom and might are His. Paul describes God in Ephesians 4 and verse 6 as there being one God and one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. The same God that kept His word to Adam and Eve is the same word that will keep His word to us. I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul was preaching there on Mars Hill, notice the descriptive terms that Paul has for who God is, because they of all people had misidentified God. To these people who are worshiping idol gods, there was a God to almost everything. God of the sun and the moon and the stars and the air, and you just imagine anything. They had a God, or they had an altar erected to that God. And we know the story here of Paul in Athens on Mars Hill, and here's Paul passing by, and he sees this worship to all of these different so-called gods. But notice in verse 24, Paul said, God who made the world and everything in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything. Since He gives life to all life, breath, and all things. And that He is made from the blood of every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that He might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not very far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our very being, Paul said. Paul said that when I passed by and saw your idolatrous worship, he said, I perceive that you are too, depending on what version you're looking at, too religious or too superstitious. And Paul said, it's this one God that you've erected this idol to, this unknown God, because they had a fear that they had left some God out somewhere along the line. And he said, that's the God that I want you to know about today. So there are a lot of people out there today fighting battles all over the place, and somehow they fail to identify with who our God is. The God that Matthew 19:26 says that with all things God is possible, that with God anything is possible. But we have to make sure that we understand who God is. And perhaps we're not like the people of Athens, and we're not falling down before some idol god and worshiping some unknown god. I would dare say that most any one of us in here tonight, if someone were to ask you who God is, you would be able to explain that who God is just from His Word that we've looked at tonight. But do you really identify with God? That's what God wants us to understand, is that do we identify with who He is as being a part of our life? Do we understand truly His strength and His might and His power? Are we able to identify with Him as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did there in Daniel 3 and verse 17 when they faced the fiery furnace? Do we see Him as the God that is described in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15? When he saw his son, the prodigal son, the father of the prodigal son, saw his son coming down the way after he had left his home and his possession, or taken his possessions. And the Bible says that he saw his son and he ran to his son and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And he rejoiced and he said, put the ring on his finger and put the robe on him. Kill the fatted calf. Our son, my son, has returned. You see, that's God in that passage. That's the forgiving God that wants to forgive us. The one that Psalms 111 and verse 4 says that is gracious and full of compassion. But I often hear people today say that God can't forgive me. I've done too many things. I've gone too far. I've exceeded the limits. No, the Bible tells us that our God is a God of refuge, a God of strength. Psalms 46 and verse 1 says, a very present help in time of trouble. So the battles that I face tonight may not be the battles that you fight and face. The battles that you face may not be the battles that someone else in the church is facing. But let's face it, we all face our battles, and we must be able to identify with God. you were to look, and I haven't counted this myself, but says that the name of God, that is the reference to God, is mentioned almost 4,500 times in the Bible. And so if we don't recognize who God is, then it's our fault, not God's. Because God has identified Himself in name, and He has identified Himself with His power and His grace and His compassion and His forgiveness and every other attribute that we can think about God. God has identified Himself to us. But when we're facing battles out there, and whether there be issues of in the family, or issues with our faith that may be struggling, or things that we priorities, family priorities, how many times do we mention God? God mentions Himself in His Word 4,500 times, and God is seen from Genesis to Revelation. And everywhere, at every part in between. But how many times when I'm fighting a battle do I sit down and try to identify with where God, what the role God plays in those battles that I face? How is God going to be my refuge? What does God want me to do? What priorities does God want me to have with my family? We have to be able to identify God. Just knowing that He's one of the three members of the Godhead, that is Jehovah God, it's not enough. You see, we can have all the right answers, or at least what seems to be the right answer, but it really isn't. Some years ago, and I won't say where, but many years ago, I was visiting a congregation. And they had a little pew packers class down front, and they had all the little children that were, you know, just like we used to. We would sit down there, and the preacher would give us the flashcards, and they would ask us, you know, things that pertain to God, and or name the 12 apostles, original apostles, or some kind of question. And I remember the preacher, he asked the question, name the four Gospels. And this was back during the early 80s, I can't remember. But it was back during the time when the show Dukes of Hazzard were a big thing on TV. And the little boy raised his hand and he said, "I know what the four Gospels are." And he said, "Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Duke." He thought he had the right answer. Sometimes, brethren, we can be so close to having the right answer when it comes to God, but if God is not a part of who we are, if we can't identify God, how can we truly identify our battles? Sometimes it's easy, we think, to say, "Oh, I know what my battles are. I'm dealing with an issue of sickness. Check. That's a battle." Or maybe things aren't going well at work. Check. You know, that's a battle. Or maybe we're having issues in our home. But you see, some of the times people don't realize that the greatest battles they fight are the ones that they never see. That's the spiritual battles. In their mind, they have the right answer. In their minds, there's really not a problem. So they don't stop long enough sometimes to think about, am I truly being the faithful Christian that God wants me to be? You can rest assured tonight that the devil will use every available tool that he has. Sometimes the greatest battle that we face tonight are the battles that people don't even recognize. The need of putting God first the need of having God as a part of the priority in our homes. You see, God has never expected us to fight our battles without Him. It's just the opposite. God wants us to call upon Him, pray to Him, use Him, plead with Him, approach Him. And if we're losing a spiritual battle tonight, it's not God's fault, it's ours. There are times when I've heard people say, well, I blame God for what's going on in my life. How can we blame the God that wants to help us? It's because we have not stopped long enough to properly identify the battles that we face. And one of the problems is that we, even as Christians, if we're not careful, we will confuse our battles with God's acceptance, or at least perhaps the lack of it. And we think if everything is going well in our life, the job is good and life is good and health is good, then it must mean that my relationship with God is good. Or there may be some who say, well, things are not going well and I am struggling in certain areas of my life, and so what does God have against me? See, just because some battles that we face in life don't go well, it does not mean that God is not on our side. Nor does it mean that if things are going well financially and out there in the workplace and it seems like we're thriving, that somehow that means we have the acceptance of God. We cannot confuse the battle. And there are times when as Christians, in fact, it's just the opposite, that we have these battles that we face in life, and God uses those battles and allows us to go through those battles to help us to be better people. In James 1, James was writing to those in dispersion, those that had been undergoing trials and were about to undergo even greater trials. And he said there in verse 2 of chapter 1, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Well, how do we find it? How do we find the happiness facing the trials and battles of life? James says, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces patience. And the word testing there means evidence or endurance. That this persecution that you face, this testing, it is to help you be a better person. It's like what Peter said there, and we won't read all those scriptures. It's what Peter said there in 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 12, when he talks about a Christian who is being tried by fire. You see, when the precious gold is taken, even my wedding band, it and your jewelry, it didn't look like this when it came out of the ground. But it went through a process of refining and purification and shaping and molding and changing. It didn't just come out of the ground like this. No, there had to be some things along the way that shaped and molded and purified it. And that's why God sometimes allows us to undergo certain trials of life. Things that may test our faith. And so we're going to have opportunities, not only to fight the battle, but we're going to have opportunities to help others fight the battle. For you see, brethren, it's without the battles that we'll be failures. If we have no battles in life, we will fail. It's those things that we face and fight and combat in this world with God's help that He uses those things to help us to be better people. But the problem is that people fail in their fight when they fail to put on the whole armor of God. If you notice there in Ephesians 6, and I remember as a child speaking a pew packers class, when I was a child, that was one of the things that we had to get up and recite in Bible class was here in Ephesians 6, was the whole armor of God. And if you notice the things that Paul told us that we must wear in order to withstand the fiery darts or the wiles of the devil, because he said that our fight, verse 12, he said it's not with flesh and blood. It's not in whether I'm on the sick list or not. It's not in whether I'm having issues at work. But he said the battle we fight is against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. And he said that's why we take up the whole armor of God, verse 13, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. And he says, and having done all to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he says, and above all, taking the shield of faith, of which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then in verse 18, he says, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful unto this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You see, the problem here is that sometimes I want the helmet. Sometimes I want the helmet, but I don't want the sword of the Spirit. Sometimes people may want the sword, but they don't want the helmet. They don't want prayer and supplication, but they'll take other things. And so they pick and choose. But for a warrior, in order to be successful in battle, you have to have that which will protect you and that which will defend you. Tonight, God has offered us both. He has offered us a victory that belongs to us. You see, victory is coming, and it does belong to the Lord. Our redemption eternally is closer today than it was yesterday. The Bible says in Matthew 25 that when Jesus comes again with all of His holy angels, that He will, the judge, the righteous judge, will sit upon the throne of His glory, and He'll judge all the nations of all time. We often describe those who are on the right, the sheep versus the goats. You know who the sheep are? Sheep are the ones who have won the battle, that have persevered, that have identified God with God, have understood what the most needful battles are and the most necessary things in life. Those are the ones who will declare victory. And so as we stand before God today, we ask ourselves the question, are we facing and fighting the battles that we need to fight, or are we fighting useless battles that have nothing to do with time and eternity? if we fight in the same old ways, we will get the same results. It's only when we allow God to make a change in us that we'll win the battle. It may be tonight that some of you struggle. And is there not a time, as I said earlier, is there not a family that we know? Is there not someone that we love, if not ourselves, that at some point in time have fought some kind of battle? We all fight them. There's nothing new about that. But we come to a period of time in a worship service like this, and we extend a word of encouragement, a word of invitation that is actually the invitation from the Lord. Asking people that who have not been baptized into Christ to put on Christ, to confess Jesus as the Son of God, to walk that faithful walk. It's that time where we plead with people who may be losing their battles out there. People that we may not even know about. Faithfully depend upon God to help them fight the great battles of life. If you fall into that category tonight and we can help you make your walk and your battle easier, victory belongs to the Lord. The devil may win a battle or two here or there in life, but he'll never win the war. It begins tonight by allowing God to help you fight the most necessary battles. And to pray for the people out there that don't even realize they're fighting a battle or that they need God. Tonight, if your life is not what it needs to be, and we can help you tonight at this time to have a closer walk with God, if we can help you be what you need to be, understand there will be times that we all fail. And there will be times that we will lose some battles, but God is there as He was with the prodigal son. That's the God that we love and know, the compassionate God that loves and forgives and takes us back every time. Tonight, if you need to come, we pray that you will do that right now as we stand and as we stand.